Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Barah Ministries teaches the Word of God from God's perspective and not from human perspective. And we want to know what God has to say to us through His Word because we're convinced that God knows exactly what He's talking about. And our God is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's lesson, God's unconditional love is eternal security for the few. God's unconditional love is eternal security for the few. Well, the older I get, the more chilling these verses become. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and that there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to the resurrection life, and there are few who find it." And the reason these verses are so chilling is because if the Lord Jesus Christ says a thing, it's absolutely true. What he's saying here is that few will find the small gate and the narrow way that leads to the righteousness he demands for salvation, his own righteousness, absolute righteousness, the free gift that comes from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign God of the universe, for salvation. And this is something that absolutely bugs me. It's chilling, because more and more as I get older, I am experiencing his statement to be true. There are many people who display an outward righteousness. The righteousness of, I am a Christian. The righteousness of, I go to church. The righteousness of, I study the Word of God. Yet these people do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ of biblical Christianity. Instead, they actually believe in another Jesus, one who did not accomplish their salvation at the cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, Paul describes the Corinthian church, and many members in the church are engaging in the willing acceptance of a counterfeit God, a counterfeit power, and a counterfeit salvation. And here's what Paul says to them, 2 Corinthians 11:4. If a person comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, and of course they do. There are false teachers who preach a different Jesus. Or, if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received from us, and you do, there are people who come with a counterfeit sense of power. And if you entertain a different gospel, which you have not accepted, because you accepted our gospel, and by the way, you do entertain these other gospels rather than rejecting them, you bear this beautifully. That's sarcasm. What Paul is really saying is you willingly indulge it. There are many people who believe that Jesus exists, that he was actually a person. They think he's a man, and they simultaneously believe that they have to do something to create their own salvation. Just as the Pharisees of Matthew 7, that passage in Matthew 7 did. Yet Romans chapter 11, verse 6 says, "If salvation is by grace, and it is, it is no longer on the basis of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace." Isn't it funny how everything with God is polar opposite from everything with Satan? There's grace or there's works. There's the narrow road or there's the broad road. There's the small gate or the wide gate. Isn't it funny how everything is so crystal clear because it's so polar opposite in 180-degree opposition? Now, those who followed the Pharisaical teachers are following them through the wide gate and the broad road. And it's my sincere hope that the things that I'm saying don't apply to the people who are listening to Barah Ministries. I want to make it clear to you that there is only one way to get to heaven: faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Jesus said this, and it's true because he said it, just as everything he says is true. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to Thomas the doubting one, "I am the way to salvation." I am the way. That's the way it is in the Greek. I am. I exist as the only way to salvation. I am the truth through the Word of God that I provide. I am the resurrection life. And no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. And it is my hope that while you're learning through Barah Ministries, that you realize it's not only important to know what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, but it's also just as important to live it. You see, I find myself participating in an inordinate number of funerals, either directly or indirectly. And the thing that I always wonder is that person saved? Did that person believe in Christ? And then you'll hear, well, they were a member of the Roman Catholic Church. And you go, okay, but were they saved? Did they believe in the real Jesus, or did they believe in another Jesus? When I ask you questions and you can't answer them with crystal clarity, it makes me nervous. Bothers me. Because this isn't a game we're playing here. This is your salvation. Do you know how to be saved? Do you know for a fact that if I was at your funeral tomorrow, that I could rest confidently in the fact that you're in heaven? Or are you confused about it? Are you casual about it? Yeah, well, you know, I know what you say, but, you know, there's this thing I want to do, that self-righteous chip that we were talking about in the first lesson. Do you know for sure? And if you don't know for sure, please ask me. If you can't articulate it for sure, please talk to me. Because I don't want to come to your funeral wondering if you're going to heaven or not. I want to know. Well, the opening song for today, through all of it, Colton Dixon.
There are days of taking more than I can give, and there are choices that I made that I wouldn't make again. I've had my share of laughter, of tears and troubled times. This has been the story of my life. I've won and I've lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. Through all of it, you were there when it all came down on me, when I was blinded by my fear and I struggled to believe. But in those unclear moments, you were the one keeping me strong. This is how my story's always gone. I've won and I've lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, we know that from our physical birth we were sinners, and we fell desperately short of your essence. We know that the sin in us and the sinning that we do leads to death. Thank you for sending your Son as the way, the only way, to the resurrection life. And thank you for being so clear about how to get to heaven. Illuminate our salvation status within our souls so that we might not be putting in time under a false illusion that we are saved, only to be disqualified in the end. And for those of us who are saved, help us to get beyond our self-consciousness, to reach out to others with the gospel message. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's begin this lesson by giving you a chance to make an offering. In just a moment, we'll welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering. Making an offering to the Lord that can be used for the benefit of those who are without money and without a pastor is one of the most selfless things you can do. So thank you for making it possible for others to hear the Word of God taught from the Lord's perspective here at Barah Ministries. Please welcome up Denny Goodall, Deacon Denny Goodall, with the offering message.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. Now, this week I was parenting William. Emily always makes fun of me when I say I have to babysit. She's like, I would never say that. Anyway, I was feeding William his lunch, and you know, he's so fun to deal with all the time. He makes you laugh, but sometimes he can get kind of frustrating with you. He doesn't want to eat what you give him, and then you take it away, and then he wants it again, and he gets mad at you. So I just was giving him all kinds of stuff, everything that was in the fridge that was left over. How about this? How about that? And he started chewing on a piece of bread and made a weird choking sound. And I instantly panicked. I'm like, oh, God. I know I was taught how to give a child or an infant the hemlock, or not hemlock, but the Heimlich maneuver. And I completely spaced it. I could not remember what it was. I remember sitting in this little room and watching this little boring video about how to do it. And they gave you this mannequin to work with and to put your mouth on and deal with. And I totally couldn't remember. It was a foundational kind of thing that I just completely forgot. And I think that happens to us as Christians. We get so tied in with trying to learn the next thing and trying to learn and trying to advance that we forget the basic things. We forget the things that are foundational to our Christian way of life. And I thought about, you know, the world makes you worry about drug abuse and alcohol abuse and murder and homosexuality, and these are all such evil things. But really, all sin is evil no matter what. All sin is really on the level playing ground. And you think about lying. We know we shouldn't lie, but we do little white lies here and there. You know, you don't want to be honest with somebody. You just say a little lie and it makes the situation, eases the situation, but it really doesn't. Or how about gossip? You know, you think you're just talking about somebody at work. You know, it's just kind of, you're bonding over your hate for somebody. And it really, it's not a good thing. It causes strife. It makes other people aware of the things that you don't like about somebody, and now you're piling on somebody. And you can see in the Bible this is true. In James chapter 1, verse 26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. And that's a big statement, to say something about bridling your tongue is creates your religion being worthless, creates your Christianity or your relationship with Christ being worthless. I think it's something for us to remember and for us to refresh on those foundational principles of Christianity. Love, not lying to people, not gossiping about people, not slandering others. They're simple things, and they're so easily done. So easy just to slip in and say something bad about somebody. You know, it's not easy to murder somebody. That's easy to avoid. It's not easy to do some of the things that people, like getting into drug abuse, being a heroin addict. That's not easy. You need to know somebody. You got to stick a needle in your arm, all these bad things. But to gossip, it's an easy sin to do. To lie to somebody, it's an easy sin to do. It's not the right way to go. And it's like Pastor said, let's dig that well right now. Let's come to church and let's learn about the right things to do and keep those in mind so that when those problems arise, we have a very deep well of truth water to drink and to keep our minds straight. And it's like Pastor said, he was on vacation and spent 2 hours reading, but he didn't go swimming. He probably learned how to swim a long time ago, but he hasn't worked on those skills. And for him to say it's weird for him to sit and read or to read for 2 hours, that's weird for me to read 2 hours. Emily would say that for sure. If I'm on vacation, I'm in the water. I'm swimming. But I need to be sitting on the beach and doing some reading. I need to stop and focus and use those reading skills because it's a huge part of growing up. Even, you know, for the young guys in the congregation, reading is so boring, right? But it's such a good thing. To have the vocabulary to speak, to have the vocabulary to think. You can't think if you don't have the words. You really can't. And that's why it's so important to have doctrine in your soul and to come here each week and to study so that you have those words in your soul. You have those words in your mind. It's all about your mindset. So you can squash that temptation to gossip. You can squash that temptation to murder your neighbor. You can squash those kind of things. So thank you for your consistent giving, and thank you for always digging that well.
Today's Bible lesson, God's unconditional love is eternal security for the few. God's unconditional love is eternal security for the few. So Deacon Denny just gave a great offering message, but he also gave a great demonstration of how college can screw you up because he mixed his stories. You know, he went from Heimlich maneuver to hemlock. So he was thinking about how Socrates killed himself. He almost gives his kid hemlocks. You know, that's kind of tough. Right, so you got to make sure you keep your story straight when you're in college, or you can hurt somebody. A little water. Delicious. We're studying Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, which say this. And you should be able to recite these by heart by now. I, Paul, am convinced. I, Paul, am fully persuaded that neither death nor life, nor elect angels, nor principalities, nor demons, which are fallen angels, excuse me, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, Romans 8:39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unconditional love of God the Father, who is for us through our union with Christ Jesus our Lord. The way that the God the Father looks at us is he sees our union with Christ, and he thinks of us in exactly the same way he thinks of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is an amazing thing. Now, in these verses, the Apostle Paul is asking us to consider 10 supernatural things that we might think could separate us from the unconditional love of God. Here's a reminder of the list. Here are these 10 things, 4 pairs of supernatural things: death and life, elect angels and fallen angels, angels and principalities, things present or things to come, things now or in the future, height or depth, things in heaven, things under the earth. two single supernatural things, powers, any one or anything that considers itself powerful in this life, and then any other created thing. Those are the 10 supernatural things, and we've been through all of them except the last one, any nor any created thing. That's the final item on the list. Nothing that has ever been made, including nuclear warheads, no created thing, no creature, can ever separate you from the unconditional love of God. There's no way that God's purpose in you will ever be thwarted. And be clear on this. You know, we hear this good part. Nothing can separate you from the unconditional love of God. But think about the opposite. There is someone, and there are some things that are designed to separate you from the unconditional love of God. And what does it mean when you're separated from that? It means to have you forget that that is true. When you doubt, you forget that that's true. But here's what it said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. I know that everything God does will remain forever. Everything. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it. And salvation is the beautiful illustration of that. Nothing to add to it, nothing to take from it, just accept it as it is. For God has so worked it that men should respect him. God has been so unconditionally clear what the only way is so that men would respect it. Because that's what you respect in leaders. You respect leaders who tell you what the way is and then help you to do it. God's unconditional love for you is one of those things that will remain forever. Do you believe that or do you doubt? That's the real question. And if you doubt, do you connect your doubt to a giant dose of self-righteousness in you? Do you connect your doubt to a giant dose of self-righteousness in you? I was talking to a friend recently, and he was telling me that he's going through an intense period of self-doubt. And I started clapping. And he asked me why, and I said, I'm clapping on God's behalf. He's probably saying right now, finally, we're making some progress if you're doubting yourself. Because that's exactly what God wants us to do. Doubt ourselves, to doubt that the self is valuable. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 says this, I, Paul, know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing to do good is present in me, in the new self. But the doing of good is not present in me, in the flesh. Romans 7, 21. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. Paul is saying, I want to do well, but I simply don't. Yes. And what a great reason for self-doubt. There's nothing good in you. We go into introspection. There's nothing good in you. Now, is it helpful to know what's in you? Yes, but what are you going to find out? There's nothing good in you. Yet, do you connect your self-doubt to your own self-righteousness? When you doubt, you're actually thinking there is something good in you. There isn't. And when you accept that there's nothing good in you, it puts you in a position to relax and then to trust God for everything. How much more true of those who are working to improve themselves so that they can be acceptable to God and worthy of salvation? How about the Pharisaical pastors who teach people today that they have to clean up their acts to be acceptable to God? If you have to clean up your act to be acceptable to God, you are in big trouble because your act is not going on the road. And I started today's lesson with this idea, the older I get, the more chilling Scripture gets. Why? Because I'm asking Christians questions to hear their view of Christianity, and their answers are chilling. For example, the question, do you think you can lose your salvation? Well, do you, punk? Well, the crime of asking these questions is the punishment. I have to listen to the answers. And what do I hear? Blah, 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 babbling. Can you lose your salvation? It's a yes or no question. And then if you think you can't lose your salvation, what's your biblical backup? Because I don't care about your opinion. What does the Bible say? Well, Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39 says very clearly you can't lose your salvation. It's probably the most important set of verses that tells you that. I, Paul, am fully persuaded, I'm convinced, that not death, not life, not angels, not principalities, not things present, not things to come, not powers, not height, not depth, not any created thing will be able to separate us from the unconditional love of God the Father, who is for us through our union with Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from your union with Christ Jesus. There is no stronger biblical description of your eternal security than the two verses we're studying right now. Nothing can separate a believer in Christ from God. Nothing, and especially no created thing. So your uncertainty, your doubt, is self-righteousness. God loves you, and the love he has for you is not the same love that you have for him. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11 say this: Beloved, which means divinely loved ones, those loved by the divine one, let us love one another unconditionally. For unconditional love is from the source of God the Father. And everyone who loves unconditionally is born of God the Father and knows God the Father. That is, unconditional love comes from believers. Don't expect unconditional love from unbelievers. They don't have it to give. 1 John 4:8, the one who does not love unconditionally does not know God the Father. In other words, is an unbeliever, because God the Father is unconditional love. It's not something he does. Is something that he is. 1 John 4:9. By this unconditional love, the unconditional love of God the Father was manifested in us, made clearly visible through us. That God the Father has sent his uniquely born Son into the world so that we might live the resurrection life through our union with him. 1 John 4:10. In this is unconditional love. Not that we love God the Father unconditionally, but that he loved us unconditionally. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation. The only perfectly satisfactory payment for our sins is Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. So you, as a person, cannot do anything to make up for your sins. You, as a person, cannot earn your way to heaven. Because there's only one acceptable way, Christ. Faith alone and Christ alone, nothing else. 1 John 4:11, beloved, divinely loved ones, if God the Father so loved us unconditionally, and he did, we also ought to love one another unconditionally. Now here's the truth. When human beings say they love us, most of the time they don't mean it like this. They mean they love us conditionally. You can always tell someone loves you conditionally when you do something wrong, and then they flip out about it. They judge you. They call you to change yourself. They call you to self-righteousness, the very self-righteousness that is completely useless. This is the subtlety of Satan's deception. You see, train wrecks people. You know, people that we consider to be train wrecks? People that we consider to be, God, you just keep doing stupid stuff. The Daryl Strawberries and the Doc Goodens of the world and all the friends around us that we have that keep doing that over and over, who by world standards are the scum of the earth, those people that we judge, those are the ones that are best to do God's work. These are the people that God picks to do his work. He doesn't pick the cool people. He picks the scumbags. Guys like the Apostle Paul, guys like David, guys like Moses. You can't even believe their resume. So my question for you is this: can you lose your salvation? Let's take a music break and we'll address the subject. The music break song, Forgiveness by Matthew West.
Thing on your mind today, It always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride. It moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Prisoner free, there is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Today's Bible lesson, God's unconditional love is eternal security for the few. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. I, Paul, am convinced that neither death nor life nor elect angels nor principalities, the fallen angels, nor things present nor things in the future to come, nor powers, Romans 8, 39, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us believers in Christ from the unconditional love of God the Father, who is for us through our union with Christ Jesus. Can a Christian lose his salvation? Anyone who believes that you can lose your salvation is engaging in heresy. What is heresy? A deviation from the truth. Ask them to prove it with biblical proof, and their proof will always connect to self-righteousness, and it will never connect to grace. Their proof will always take verses out of context that infer what we must do to be saved, and will never refer to verses that cite what an immutable, unchanging, and faithful God does for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4 say this, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which gospel you also received, you believed it, in which gospel you also stand. It is the source of your foundation and salvation." 1 Corinthians 15, 2, "By which gospel you are also saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Believing in vain is pretending like you believed when you didn't. 1 Corinthians 15, 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture," 1 Corinthians 15, 4, "and that he was buried, and that he was resurrected from the dead on the third day, according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel message. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. That's it. Believe that, and you will be saved. Believe in that person, and you will be saved. If you want to work for your salvation, here's what the Lord Jesus Christ says is the work that you must do. You want to work for your salvation? What work do you have to do? John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. You have to do this. "Therefore the apostle said to Jesus, 'What shall we do so that we may work the works of God the Father?' And Jesus said in John 6, 29, Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God the Father, that you believe in him whom he has sent me.'" This is the work of God the Father, that you believe in him whom he has sent me. That's the work. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Hard work. When you believe an immutable, unchanging, and faithful God does all the work of salvation for you, then you believe Titus chapter 3, verse 5, which says this, "The Lord Jesus Christ saved us, not on the basis of deeds we have done in self-righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing by God the Holy Spirit," which is called the baptism of the Spirit. That's the work. Let somebody else do the work for you. Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says this, "But to the one who does not work for salvation, but believes in Christ, who justifies the ungodly." What is the ungodly? The unrighteous sinner. "This person's faith is credited to his account as righteousness," and righteousness is the admission ticket to heaven. In John chapter 5, verse 24, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, "Truly, truly, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, say to you, he who hears my word," the gospel message, "and believes God the Father who sent me, has eternal life," the Zoe life, the resurrection life, "right at that moment, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of spiritual death into spiritual life." We've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29 say this, "I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give eternal life to them," believers in Christ, "and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." John 10, 29, "My Father who has given them to me," believers in Christ, who's given believers in Christ to me, "is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand either." So we've got a double hold on us. We've got God the Son, we've got God the Father, and we've also got the Holy Spirit, triple hold. We are in God's grip. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." That was John. Know. K-N-O-W. Know. Hebrews 13, 5, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.'" God will never turn his back on you. Once you believe, he will never turn his back on you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 say this, "In Christ, in union with Christ, you also," believers in Christ, "after listening to the message of truth," the gospel of your salvation, "and having also believed, you were sealed in union with Christ with the Holy Spirit of promise." There's the Holy Spirit's part. God the Father's got you. God the Son has got you. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the uniquely born one of the universe, has got you. The Holy Spirit has sealed you. And sealing is his signature guarantee that you are saved once and for all time. Beautiful. Ephesians 1:14. This Holy Spirit who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God the Father's own possession to the praise of the Father's glory. Why did he save you? For his own praise. When we start to realize how sinful we are, there is no way we could ever save ourselves. There is no way we could ever think that our way is righteous. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. I, Paul, am convinced that not death, not life, not elect angels, not fallen angels, not things present, not things in the future, not powers, not height, not depth, not any other created thing will ever be able to separate us believers in Christ from the unconditional love of God the Father, who is for us through our union with Christ Jesus. So after studying Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, to what conclusion are we forced? We go right back up to Romans 8:31. To what conclusion are we forced when we are face to face with these things? And right at the bottom, we ask ourselves the same question. To what conclusion are we forced when we're face to face with these things? We have to acknowledge no who, no thing, no what, no how, nothing will be able to separate us from God's unconditional love. And the term will be able, what will be able, what's powerful enough to separate us? Not one thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 says this, namely, that God the Father was in Christ through the agency of Christ, reconciling the whole world to himself. By doing what? By not counting their trespasses against us. Reconciliation. And the Father has committed to us the word of reconciliation, the gospel message. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says this, when God the Father had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Christ. That is the moment when we have the victorious procession, the triumphal procession, where God the Father has made Jesus' enemies a footstool for his feet. So here's the truth. God loves you unconditionally. And that's just one of the many facts that make you eternally secure. And if you believe it, you're one of the few. If you believe it, you're one of the few. So we dedicate the closing moments of this lesson to those of you who don't believe it. You need to make the most important decision of your life. Matthew chapter 19, verse 25b says, the disciples asked the Lord, then who can be saved? Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is no creature who is righteous, not even one. Romans 5:7-8, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God the Father demonstrates his unconditional love toward all mankind, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were his enemy, Christ died instead of us. Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace you have been saved through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that grace, that faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It is not a result of your works, so that no one can boast. Titus 3:5, the Lord Jesus Christ saved us not on the basis of deeds we've done in self-righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and by renewing from God the Holy Spirit. Closing psalm. God loves us unconditionally? Yes. And you know what? You don't have to beg him to love you. June Murphy.
I know all your secrets. You're no stranger to me. All you've done, all you'll do, I've known an eternity. Dying on the cross. was planned before your first breath, to prove how much I love you. I will never love you less. You don't have to beg me to love you. I don't need a bribe to make me stay. You don't have to beg me to love you. You could never run me away. You don't have to beg me to love you. Don't have to beg me to love you. I'll stay. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher too. My love's not the love of man, to be given then taken.
Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for protecting us with your eternal security. And most of all, thank you for protecting us from ourselves. Thanks for not letting our salvation be something that we had to earn so that we could also ruin it. Instead, thank you for giving us a salvation as a free gift and then protecting us in such a way that we could never lose it. I just pray that you help us to share that message with those we love, and to get across the truth of your word to them. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.